Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first Big Brother 20 live feed update of the season. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today are two wonderful people. It's Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing good, man. I'm not here to ham it up, but I'm really excited for Big Brother to be back on our screens, and I'm all about talking about Summer of Feeds 2018.
Yes, all right. Summer of Feeds and Summer of Steves. And also with me today is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
So excited to be here. It was such a great night of feeds. I'm so pumped for this season. Like, the difference in savagery between last season and this season is so amazing, because last season we came on, people were like lying in bed, it was chill, and that's what happens when you have a vet there. Honestly, everything was just chill, everything was laid out, everybody thought they had a plan. This year, man, these people are crazy. They're absolutely nuts. The house is split down the middle. Maybe not quite down the middle. It might be weighted a little bit more to one side than the other, which we'll get to, but I am so here for it. And I'm not just excited because the house is split. I'm excited because all of these people are here to play.
Yes, very excited. I enjoyed the feeds last night as well. Also, we were a little bit late this morning getting this new technology set up. So hopefully everything is working, but we should be streaming to YouTube, to Twitch, to Periscope, and Facebook was supposed to work, but I don't think it is. So we'll figure that one out in future days. But we are here to update you on everything that's been going down on the Big Brother 20 live feeds, and they started last night. It was 1 a.m. and I was streaming live on my own Twitch, and we were hanging out, we were watching the feeds, and they were very fun. The house guests knew that the feeds were going live, but unlike previous seasons, and like some other previous seasons, little fanfare this time. No big thing made of it. No, you know, no charades.
Oh, really? Really? Because I'm pretty sure I heard about 10,000 times last night. America, we are live now, only on CBS.
Yes, there was one, maybe two, if you count Caitlin as being involved in that. JC was very excited about the feeds. He and Caitlin had practiced some CBS, only on CBS. JC, very much a camera hog.
Ham. He didn't say that. I'm like trying to think on like the real TV show, like the real station. Do they ever say only on CBS? Like, I don't think they say that. They might have it in a logo at the bottom. Like, yeah. Is he watching TV from like 1996 or something? What the heck?
I mean, that wouldn't be surprising, to be honest. So the feeds come on. There's a little bit of shout outs. Rachel gives a shout out. There's some other people giving some shout outs here and there, but for the most, they're not gathered in the living room. And part of the reason why, I think, is because
they hate each other.
A house divided. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. And right from the get-go, there are a group of people up in the HOH room, and there's a group of people downstairs hanging out in the bedrooms. And that's really where we're going to start our season, Puya.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what dreams are made of. This is the way you want a season to start. And, you know, talk on what Brent said and what you were saying about how, like, previously, and like, we, Celebrity Big Brother, we watched a game of charades night one. It was not all that, except for the controversial Jumanji game played. But honestly, it was very, very delightful to see the way the game is starting. And this divide could only get better with time. Hopefully.
Yes. So apparently right before the feed started, there was some drama happening that we got about 50 or so retells from Winston about. So Winston had seen some feet near a door and went to poke his head in and was like, oh, what are you guys talking about? Because Caitlin was there and she was talking to some other people. And apparently she had busted in on him talking to people a bunch of times in the past. So he was like thinking, oh, I can do this and make it fun. But no, it was not fun, apparently. He's going to go around and tell everybody and their sisters about this. And it's not going to be a fun retelling experience, Brent.
Yeah, and he was such a wimp about it, too, because he was telling everybody exactly what happened. He was, like, living it up, like, man, this is what I did to her. It was great. Like, oh, my God, like, can you believe it? And then when he finally gets to Caitlin to confront her about it, he's like, well, you know, I mean, we did that, but you knew I was just joking, man. Like, come on, like, you know.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was not good. Not great here. Not a great night for Winston. A great night for you know, anybody that had hopes in Winston and those people.
Yeah, I defended Winston on Twitter because of that stupid gun waving segment at the beginning of his package. But I cannot defend him for being a douche and a bad player. Like, I mean, like the train has left the station. If he doesn't know a little self-perception about how he's being perceived around the house, like many of these people, like they actually actively dislike him. And that is not a good place to be in.
No.
Yeah.
The catfishing has continued. And honestly, it's looking like, you know, it's a bad situation when you're in a pairing with Brett. And we're thinking, damn, Brett is the better one, especially given how we were perceiving both coming in. Honestly, it's kind of nice to get the 180 going. I'm always happy when I get, you know, proven wrong or get a surprise in at the beginning.
Yeah, Brett surprisingly was the seemingly more calm one of the two, despite the noises. Can I just I before I even start talking about these guys, Brett makes that noise. He goes, or whatever it is, like, I hate it. Stop.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of it, Taryn. I'm sorry. It's happening. That's his thing.
So, Brett and Winston, they're going around making their burr noises and, wearing bandanas and, being all macho with each other. Like, Winston's talking about like, oh, I really busted in on Caitlin. And Brett's like, oh yeah, you did. Oh, that's crazy. Well, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. hyping each other up. They're inseparable.
Who is the better player? Who is ostensibly the better player, Taryn?
Brett does seem to be the better player here, which is surprising. Yeah,
totally amazing. I thought he was a total douche coming into the house, and he still kind of is. But he at least had some wherewithal about him, Puya, where he was just like, you know, maybe we should stop talking about this. Like, this doesn't really matter right now. Like, you're getting hyped up for nothing. Like, let's be chill. Like, we don't want to ruffle any feathers. Let's lay back a little bit and then take the volume down a little bit, which is the right Big Brother play. Of course, I love the Winston play, which is just to go crazy and be a complete asshole on the first night.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to see someone of Brett's stature, what we thought he was going to be the calming voice, to be the one to tell Winston, hey man, take it down a couple notches. We don't need to be like this so extremely so much right now. And their friendship kind of reminds me of those snowboard douche guys in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. So that's kind of the vibes I'm going to be getting for now moving forward.
So let's set up the house here, because this is a house divided. We have these two bros, Brett and Winston. They are, in fact, what we saw in the episode is still true. They are aligned with Rachel, Casey, and Angela. Those are the five. Then they also have Tyler, but Tyler's playing the middle. Tyler has both sides thinking that he's on their side. And then they also seem to have JC on board. So that's kind of their side. That's a seven person block of people that seems to be aligned. We know that Vegas spoiled when they were spoiling. They said that Tyler had a final two with Casey. We didn't see any of that on the feeds, as far as I'm aware. But that that is potentially in play as well, tying Tyler in with that side. Then on the other side, we've got Swaggy. We've got Bailey, Haley, Fessy. We've got Caitlin, Angie. That's six. And then Angie is Rockstar. They seem to have Steve on their side. And they seem to also have Scotty. And then the only person missing from this whole situation now is poor Sam, who, you know, I assumed that this whole robot punishment would be like, oh, she's in a robot thing for a couple of hours to get their footage for the show. And then she'll be back as a real person, because surely they're not going to make her be a robot for most of the time. No, that is not the case. She apparently has been a robot for the majority of the time that she's been there. She was asking, people were asking her, do you think you'll get to be a human tomorrow at some point? And she was like, I don't know. This is a bit ridiculous to me. This is really significantly, like, way, 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 way worse than Casey's punishment. And perhaps one of the worst punishments I think I've ever seen on the show. She hasn't even had time to unpack yet. She was like, well, if I get to be a human, maybe I can climb the wall again. Like, she just wants to be a person here, Puya.
Yeah, she wants to be a person. Obviously, what do we think about when we think of robots? Why did you get deemed a robot early on, Taryn? The emotions thing, right? So it's like, as humans, we get to convey emotion. We get to show that. We get to show empathy, sympathy. It's not even a robot where, because when I saw that robot, I thought maybe what's going to happen is the screen is going to be a webcam of her face. And they can at least see her face, see her mannerisms, see her smile, see her frowns. It's just voice. And the faces this robot makes are ridiculous. She really cannot move anywhere. She cannot go upstairs as the robot, for all we know right now. So there's no elevator in this house. So she's really damned to the quarters downstairs. She's damned in this body. And pretty much she has to have people want to bring her in and out for the majority. It's not a good thing for her. She's definitely screwed. She's in a situation where essentially conversations will happen when she's a robot. When she's offline, she gets to come in a little bit, like we saw last night on the episode. But then they could just pull her back in at any time. I don't know how long this is going to go. I hope it's not till the first eviction, which we know is going to be a week from now. So it's not looking good for Sam. That's why she's on an island right now, honestly.
Yeah. And on top of all of this, the fact that, you know, she's spending 2 weeks, I imagine, in some dark room watching a screen with a microphone in front of her face, not able to bond with people for the first 2 weeks of the game. That's if she survives this week.
Yeah,
which she might not, because she, if we haven't, you know, if she is still on the block right now, the veto has not been played yet. She is on the block next to Steve, and it looks like the votes are there to send her home at the moment. Yeah. Because why? And Winston even said this straight up. Why would we bother to try and save Sam? Like, we're not going to, you know, do an 8-7 or a 7-6 vote in order to save Sam, because none of them have bonded with Sam. She's just there. She's a robot. They ignore her. She's like just sitting there in the kitchen. At one point, Winston and Rachel were having a conversation with her. They looked bored out of their minds as she's telling them a story. And then she's in the middle of saying something, and Winston says, oh, well, I'll just be right back. And then she's just sitting there as a robot with nothing to do and no one to talk to. This is pretty crazy, Brent.
Yeah, it has reached the point where even my little mean icy heart is feeling bad for her. I am sort of stunned that they haven't, like, taken a look at this and thought to themselves, and I'm talking about the producers, as in, this is a bad look for us. Like, I mean, we've gotten all of the, like, they're, but the problem is that they're just having so much fun with the robot thing. Frankly, just as much fun as we have with it on our show. Like, it's such a fun gag, but it's a little bit played out to us who are watching the feeds, but it's not played out on the show. I mean, they even replaced her picture on the memory wall as we see it, right, like as we're looking at it, with the robot. And when we saw her nominated for eviction, the robot came up. So they're just living for themselves. Like, they're, CBS producers are living their best life insofar as the robot thing goes right now. But it just terribly hampers her ability to play the game. Having said that, and I mean, and this sounds terrible, and I really won't belabor the point, but there are a few people who would have traded places with her, Jody, Cameron, to all just to have a chance, right, to play, yeah, to be in the house some. She is at least partly in the house for 2 weeks. And she didn't do a great job bonding with people, even when she wasn't a robot, I didn't feel like. So, I mean, because that being, she got the nomination. I'm thinking she got the nomination, but even after, like, so shortly after Tyler was HOH, I can't remember how that happened. But I'm just bummed because I feel like she deserves better. And I want to see her go out on her own merits, not on some stupid twist like this.
Yeah. And I think that it wouldn't have made such an impact, I think, if Casey hadn't also gotten a punishment, because that just really makes it stand out, because Casey's right. punishment has not even remotely been a hindrance to her at all. It's nothing near the same thing. And it just doesn't make sense to me why they even bothered with two punishments when one of them is just so dramatically worse.
It's not even in the same county. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, Casey's punishment, it didn't even go off last night as far as I could tell. And the thing about humans is that we're inherently lazy. Like, whenever I'm in a room, I generally stay in that room until my butt wants to leave that room for some other reason, some extraneous reason. So, like, Casey is sitting there, and then the wheel starts spinning, I'm guessing, and she's like, oh, cool, this is where I wanted to be anyway. You know, it does not hinder her whatsoever. So, I really hope they reverse themselves and give Sam a lot more time as a human. On the other hand, I feel like the damage is kind of done at this point. I mean, maybe she can turn it around. And also, maybe she won a power to save herself. Yes. I'm hoping that may be the case. That would make me feel a lot better about the predicament that she's in right now.
Yes. Which is true. Like, even if she does manage to stay this week, she has missed out on 2 weeks of bonding with people. She's essentially going to be a latecomer to the game at this point, because so basically what happened is they have gone to the App Store. The twist has come into play already. And a lot of people are trying to figure out who has the power. And, you know, we were just waiting for people to get one-on-one conversations, to get alone so they could talk to themselves. And there was no chance that we were going to hear from Sam, because nobody's going to have a one-on-one conversation with Sam where she's revealing information. Like, she just doesn't really even have that luxury. She can't tell if there's people behind her when she projects. Like, she
can't whisper.
Exactly. She just has, like, the speaker with the robot voice. So she's not telling any secrets at any time soon. So we're not going to know if she has anything. But basically, the App Store is in play. They got the results. Fessy was, in fact, the least trending person, as we predicted last night. And he chose his punishment. He chose Amazon as his punishment, which is a little strange to me. Like, why he would choose that one. Because, Puya, you can vouch for this. Why?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't see. Here's the thing, okay? So, and I'm not generalizing my born on religion. Being Muslim, there's like three pillars as a youngin' you learn, right? Celibacy, so no sex till marriage. Don't eat pork and don't drink and I guess don't gamble. These are like the four kind of things. I would go bold enough to say most people will indulge in the three. The one thing you don't is eat pork. So I was shocked, especially with the package we got. We see him as a devout Muslim. He's praying. And, you know, Rob talks about, well, who's going to have the kosher moment? And then he picks the ham thing. And he's eating ham. And I don't understand if he was like, I'll just do this. It's easy. I'll repent for it later, perhaps. But I'm just intrigued now. How is the show going to play this in? And how is that going to play out for him moving forward? I was just surprised that he went with the ham is on. I'm really surprised.
I am surprised as well. It is apparently vegan ham.
Oh, scratch everything I just said then. We're okay.
Yeah, I was just about to tell you, but yeah. You were going too good. I was like, "Oh, I have to hear this."
Yeah,
I was just astounded. I didn't end up, doing my extra research. But if it's vegan ham, chow it down. You're good. Enjoy your meat.
But it still doesn't make sense. Like, did he? What was he like? Oh, I really want to eat a bunch of vegan ham. Can I get vegan ham if I choose that? Like, why not just choose a different one? And it does. I doubt he got to ask them questions. So it just seems weird to me that he had a list of things and one of them said Amazon.
Yeah, I'm guessing he did. I mean, I don't know for sure. We'll get to know. We'll find out on Sunday. But I'm thinking that considering his position as a Muslim, they would have at least explained to him, like, you won't have to eat a bunch of real ham if you choose this one. I will tell you, my partner is Jewish, although he's not an Orthodox Jew, and he doesn't eat ham at all. Like, it's a big deal. So I was surprised as Kuya once I saw what was happening. But then once I saw that it was vegan ham, it made a lot more sense.
It's the asterisk.
My guess is that he just saw the little app button and he only saw like the picture and the name and he didn't know. That's my guess, because that makes a little more sense to me, I think, than like explaining like, oh, well, here's this choice and then this choice. It also makes more sense for TV because you don't want to have to explain to the viewers every single power. You want it to be like, well, choose one and then, okay, this is what you got. And then next week there will also be a surprise and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you're right. I'm actually with you on that. Now that I think about it a little bit more, they probably didn't say anything to him. They just let him pick it. And he was probably thinking it had something to do with dressing up like a ham or having to go around like a ham and deliver things or something like that. Yeah, I'm sure he had no idea what it was really going to be like.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also watched BB19. So maybe he thought, oh, I'm going to have to cook ham or kind of like make ham for everyone else and deliver it because it's ham. Amazon, I have to give people sandwiches. I don't know. It could have gone either way, right? It could have gone either which way.
Yeah, and when I saw him, when I saw the premiere episode and they showed the previews and I saw Amazon, my mind didn't go to like ham. It went to like it's like hamming it up, like it's a pun, like maybe it's Hamsterdam. I don't know.
Lord.
Like, something like that. But so Fessy ends up choosing the Amazon and he has to eat this vegan ham anytime that they say there's a Amazon delivery. He has to go to the front door. There's going to be a box and in that box is some ham that he has to eat. He did end up vomiting last night. So this is not working out well for him.
Because he was drinking off his ass. That's the reason why he was vomiting. It wasn't because of the ham. I mean, he didn't mix it.
Was he drinking? I feel like he doesn't drink.
I thought he was drinking. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought he was. I mean, I left the room for like, 20 minutes, but I thought I saw him drinking. Maybe the chat room can tell me. I'm pretty sure I saw him.
Yeah, well, let us know. Because I remember when they got the alcohol, they were like, well, Fessy doesn't drink at all, and neither does Swaggy. And I assume...
Really? Both of them? I only heard Swaggy.
Well, because he is Muslim, so,
All right, they're saying he didn't drink. Well, I saw him get sick, and no offense, but he acted a little weird all night. Like, I think he was just maybe mad about some of the things he heard, because at one point, Bailey was crying, and then something else happened, the retell of the Caitlin story from Winston, he got a little pissy about that. So I thought he was drinking, but apparently not. So I apologize, Fessy, you weren't drinking, but you still acted a fool on night one.
He was drunk on the vegan ham. It's very intoxicating.
Nice save, Taryn.
I pay attention to who doesn't drink. Fessy has that. So the problem is they don't know who got the power. They don't know who got the good thing. So we as the viewer are trying to figure it out. And the first people that we run into are Brett and Winston. They're talking about it. Neither of them have the power. They talk with Rachel. She doesn't have the power either. They're trying to figure out who has it. They eventually find out that Angela and Casey also claim to not have the power. And at this point, they're thinking like, oh, well, we hope it's Tyler or maybe it's JC, because JC told us he's 90% sure the other side doesn't have it, which was the one of the first indications we had that JC was in fact on their side. And also it seemed to make sense. You know, JC could have it. JC was definitely one of the people that I think stood out from the premiere. So at this point, we're thinking maybe JC has it. Or at this point, we're also wondering, where is Tyler in all of this? Who is he loyal to? Because as I said, the yoga team yoga was upstairs and the pretty people were downstairs. I don't like that because there are lots of pretty people on the yoga team. What can we call the bros? Team bro was downstairs. But Tyler was upstairs with team yoga and they seemed to be like on board with him. Like he was on their side. And that is the case. They think that he's on their side. They think that he's kind of like a neutral party that leans on their side, leans to their side. But in reality, when he eventually talks to Casey, I believe, and then with Rachel, he lets them know, like, they think I'm with you. They think I'm with them. Everything's cool. So I don't know if we still have 100% certainty that Tyler is loyal to the bros, but he does seem to be in a spot where he doesn't want to make any waves right now. He wants to continue to play the middle.
He reminds me a little bit of McCray from BB15, like somebody who was in with an alliance and eventually turned on them by way of maybe some other people who like turned him in that direction. He's definitely really good friends with Haley, although he's actually really good friends with Rachel as well. I was having trouble figuring out what side of the house Tyler was on the most. That's the person of all the people. That's the person I wanted to hear from, because frankly, if he's not on board with anybody's plan, it ain't going to work. I wanted to hear who a potential replacement nominee would be. I was able to get most of that. By the way, there was a conversation that Tyler had with JC later on in the night in which JC claimed that Brett has the power of all people. I mean, this was just bizarre, Taryn. I could not figure out what was happening here.
That's the thing, though. Like, I believe it was Rachel earlier was saying, well, it was either going to be Brett or JC. And since Brett doesn't have it, like, they think that Brett's a big character, I guess. They think very highly of him.
And just to be clear, like JC said, he knew who had the power, said he was the only person who knew who had the power and was going to tell Tyler and confide in him. They had a conversation. Finally, JC reveals that Brett is the holder of the power. Tyler is absolutely incredulous. He's like, well, he denied it to my face, which why would you do that to the HOH's face if you know that JC knows, because you know he's going to talk. And he also, first of all, Brett also denied it to Winston, who seems to be his ride or die. So that's just absolutely bizarre to me. I find that completely unbelievable. On the other hand, I'm having trouble figuring out why would JC lie to the head of household who still has a replacement nominee to potentially name. So I didn't get that at all.
Well, basically they're having this conversation because Tyler has also denied having the power. And Tyler is asking JC and JC, I know who has it. Who is it? It's Brett. It's Brett. I know it. How do you know? I just know. I'm so smart. I know this. It's basically just JC thinks he has a great read. He just thinks that he's figured it out. But he hasn't figured it. Either that or he's fronting, and maybe he does have the power, but I doubt it. At this point,
there are three potential people. It's either Sam has it, JC has it, or Tyler has it. One of those three people, I think, has the power. And we don't even know what the power is. It could be game changing, or it could be like Fessy said, where he's like, you know, talking to him about the fact that the powers are probably going to grow as time goes on. On the other hand, Paul's power last year with the Pendant of Protection was pretty freaking cool. So I don't know that necessarily holds true, Fessy, but that's what he was trying to convince Swaggy of.
Yeah, I mean, to me, again, I feel like there's going to be a set number of powers. They're just going to pick one, and maybe you get a good one right off the bat, or maybe you get a good one later on. And in terms of whether or not somebody's going to admit to having a power, I think that's really dependent on what the power is. We know that one of them is something like a +1 life, which I assume is if you get evicted, you don't get evicted. Which if I had that, I would not tell a soul, not even to my alliance, because once you get to the point where you've been evicted and the power comes into play, then you've already, like, it doesn't matter that you've lied to people about it. Right. And there's no point in telling them ahead of time, just essentially letting them know that you've got an extra life to burn.
Right. But that may not necessarily mean that. It could just mean, like, you know, you get an extra try in an HOH competition or in a veto competition. So, like, all of these powers were mysteriously named. I have to say that if I was in the room and got a power, I would probably pick that one. On the other hand, it is sort of a flashy, shiny object to pick, and I feel like the producers intentionally designed it that way, so it may not be what we think it is.
Fair point. I like that point. I really like that point. I could see that being the case.
Yeah. Which, like I said, like, I think it depends on what the power actually is, because if it is something that is like an extra China competition or something that's basically just going to get revealed at some point, because it's not dependent on you being evicted first or something along those lines, then it doesn't make sense to lie about it to your allies, because, you know, there's no point and it's just going to piss them off when it comes out. If it's something that would be revealed, then I think at this point, you know, we go to the other side of the house. We've got Swaggy talking with Fessy and Caitlin. Swaggy does not have the power, or he claims to not have the power. Caitlin doesn't seem to have the power. They're talking about none of the people on their side have the power. Swaggy thinks Angela has it. Swaggy is convinced that Angela has it. But with the knowledge that Swaggy does not have it, or at least claims to not have it, the only person left that has not denied having the power is our robot Sam, who I think is definitely one of the major possibilities for people to have the power, because I think from that premiere, the big story was the robot. And Sam is a very short and easy to spell name. And I think that plays a big part. So I think there's a huge possibility that Sam has this power, which I would be very okay with. I would love to see one of the bigger powers burned very early on somebody that deserves to be saved, because they've also been screwed by a twist. It kind of balances out the Big Brother, you know, forces of good and evil. So Sam potentially has this power, but I honestly don't think we'll find out at all this week. Maybe when she gets to come in as a human, she'll have some kind of chance. But even then, she hasn't bonded with anyone enough to like tell them that she has the power. It would be nice. Again, the current plan is to evict Sam over Steve. That's because Team Yoga has the numbers and Winston has decided, let's not even fight this. Let's just go along with what they want. We'll give the other side what they want. We'll keep Steve in the house. We know he's with them, but that's fine. We're not going to try and make any moves to save Sam of all people. And then we'll just move forward into the next week and we'll be okay. Right.
And that's totally news to JC, who is talking to Tyler that you need to get into bed with Haley because we're short of vote in order to save Sam here. And you need to work on Haley. You need to do everything you can to get her to vote our way. And then like 10 minutes later, Winston is talking to somebody going, you know, hey, you know, we really need to keep Steve in the house because even though he's with the other side this week, I'm pretty sure I can get him to come back to our side because we have a bond together. So, you know, I mean, like I was as critical of Steve as anybody else, but good on him for making bonds with some people to the point where they actually kind of want to keep him in the house over somebody as sweet as Sam.
Yeah. Right? Go ahead.
It's just crazy, man. Like the whole fact that Steve has somehow been able to integrate himself with at least a handful of people. I was with Brent watching Brent criticize the beanie and the full trying to go young when he's not even looking it, but it seems to work out enough. And I feel like, you know, yes, the robot crutch is helping his case because the fact that Sam isn't really there is helping him. But at this point, it kind of looks like it's just a battle of two sides. And one side wants to win. The other side thinks if they let them win, they can figure it out later. So it kind of works out in their favor by keeping Steve. Also, the fact that it rings true to what we saw in the episode that they think Steve is going to be harmless moving forward. So they're not too concerned about him.
Yeah. And you know, he seemed to be doing pretty well. Right when the feeds came on, the Team Yoga was talking about how they have Steve on their side. Then he was talking with the bros. He seemed to have a good rapport with them. Even though right after they were like, we know he's on the other side, but he's somebody that's actually talking to them. Which I think it matters, right? Like, because they're saying, we know he's on the other side, but he's still trying to like wheel and deal with us, which, is more than they can say for some of the other people. A lot the women of the Bro Alliance were talking about how they would be friends with some of those people like Haley, but it's such a shame she's on the other side. We can't even like talk to her. So it's very divided. And Steve is one of the people that can breach that gap. Scotty appears to be another one that is able to be a little bit in the middle, and then Tyler is the one that's really riding the middle hard, which could come back to bite him, but for now is working very well.
Yeah, but he also told Bailey to her face that if the replacement nominee is needed, that she's most likely going to be nominated, her or Caitlin. And so that was news to Caitlin. And I think that that is putting a dampener on many of their plans, because Swaggy's whole plan was he thought Angela has the power. So let's get Angela nominated up on the block. Let's get Steve to come down, win the veto, put Angela up. She uses the power. Boom. Power goes away. And then we put Winston up on the block and evict Winston week one. And Winston knows that the votes are there to send him home if he somehow ends up on the block. So good on him for perceiving that. But on the other hand, I love this plan. It's a great plan, but it's entirely too neat and tidy for it to actually work. Like, it's not going to work. And I don't even think Angela has the power anyway.
Yeah, Winston was running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yes, Taryn, let's talk about that. So you picked Winston in the draft as yes. the chalk pick. And how are you feeling about that right now? I'm getting Brian Hart vibes from Winston at this point.
I liked Brian Hart a lot more on the first week of feeds than I liked Winston. I'm not a huge fan of what Winston is doing. He's playing far too hard, far too fast, and not even particularly well from what I can tell. I mean, he did put together this Bro Alliance, which does seem to be sticking for now, but I think that basically everyone involved in that alliance except for him is going to benefit from it. He seems to be the person that sticks out the most. He again, as we talked about, we're just retelling, like, very proud but also clearly very worried about his interaction with Caitlin prior to the feeds coming on. He was like, oh my god, if they put me up, then they have the votes to send me home. Like, oh, this is the worst. This is really bad. He's got so much like nervous energy. We're eventually gonna hear Haley talk about how she does not like him. She wants him gone. She wants him to be the replacement. And it's not working out well for Winston.
I was gonna say, so he was one of the worst people. Puya, who was the biggest surprise from watching the two-night premiere and then seeing the feeds? Who was the person who, like, you were like, wow, like, I'm really psyched to watch this person play and they're really playing hard?
Like, Brett is up there for me now. Brett is up there somehow for me now. And I can't understand it. Like, I almost hate myself for feeling that way, but I definitely feel that way. I think Brett is one of them for sure. I think Swaggy C is still giving me kind of what I want to see moving forward for sure. It's like, those guys are in the top. You know what? Caitlin is someone who's also giving me stuff. And I did not think that going into this season that we're going to see her giving us anything. And then to round it off, I want to see more from Tyler before I can make my mind up. Okay. I think Tyler is someone who's like, kind of like, his hype is living up to it for me right now.
The person that I was so not psyched to see was Haley. I thought she was a total caricature. I thought she was way too young to play this game. On the other hand, the feeds come on. She has a final two with Caitlin, which I thought was really, really cool. They have a real bond with each other. Yeah. They wanted to talk to the cameras and tell us all about themselves. And when she got into it, first of all, you had the sight of Tyler, who's the head of household, going to bed with Haley. So each side sends up one person from the other side to talk block the other girl. So both of these girls are in bed with Tyler. He's got one arm around one arm around the other, and they're both intentionally in the room to block the other person from talking. Taryn, it's just delicious. It really is.
Yeah. I really liked what I saw from Haley. I feel very good about that. I believe she was my second pick in the draft. She seems to be doing pretty well. Basically, she had a conversation with Caitlin. They talked about being best friends. They have a final two together. And Caitlin is telling Haley, you need to go flirt with Tyler and get him to not nominate Bailey as a replacement. Because as we mentioned before, Swaggy's plan is use the veto or get Steve the veto so that Tyler can put up Angela as the replacement. Then Angela will have to use her power that she doesn't have. And then Winston will go up on the block and they can send Winston home. But the impediment to that plan is that Tyler has mentioned that he might put up Bailey if the veto is used. So they want Haley to try and go convince him. She does go try to convince him. They are pretty cuddly together. They seem pretty flirty. But Haley's
yeah, but he's also yeah. He, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but he's also trying to convince her to vote yeah. their way, you know, per JC. Yeah. So they each have an agenda when they're cuddling in bed together, and I don't think either one of them were particularly successful, Taryn.
Yeah, yeah, and when I say they're pretty cuddly, Haley was pretty cuddly with a few different people, so this is not necessarily isolated to Tyler. You know, Caitlin did say specifically to Haley, go flirt with Tyler. When Tyler was talking to JC, as we mentioned, JC was like, go cuddle up with Haley. So there seems to be something there that people feel willing to be like, you go flirt with each other. And so they did. And Haley was saying to Tyler, I don't like Winston. I would love to see Winston go home. Tyler was saying, that's all well and good, but here's the thing. I can keep you safe from them. If they win, then I can give them bad information. We can protect each other. People are, you know, we're kind of hoping that maybe this is kind of the bridge between alliances, that Haley and Tyler can potentially keep each other safe on each side. And be the kind of the secret, you know, chess playing alliance.
I will say that Whitless brings up a good point in the chat, which I totally agree with. He says, and the best part is that Tyler appears completely aware that both women are trying to play him, which I absolutely love that. He is definitely aware of that, but he was still partaking. It was very, very fun to watch.
Yes. Like I said, the state of the house here, Sam appears to be leaving. JC doesn't want Sam to go. JC is trying to convince Tyler to convince Haley. Tyler did not do much convincing there. I really feel like JC is not in charge of the Bro Alliance. So I don't think that there's going to be much to do here with the plan to save Sam unless everyone is convinced that that's the right thing to do. But right now they're not convinced. So Sam better have that power or she might be going home here. If the veto is used, I would expect either Bailey or Caitlin to go up on the block. And if they do go up on the block, I don't know. I think it might depend on who they go up on the block against, because if they're up on the block against Sam, then I think that it's just going to be the same outcome and Sam is probably going to go home. I don't think the bros can get the votes together. However, if she is up, if they are up against Steve, then I'm not sure what would happen. I would assume Steve would go. However, I don't know where Scotty lies. I think Scotty is pretty good with Steve.
He's 100 with Steve, right, as far as I can tell. But I, on the other hand, I haven't heard specifically from Scotty himself. But I don't think he would have any reason to lie. I mean, they seem like they are locked together. So I would have to assume that Scotty would be a vote for Steve to say.
My perception is that Steve is with Team Yoga. And Scotty is with Steve, so Scotty is also with Team Yoga, and he has some good relationships. But it seems like his connection is through Steve. So if Steve was up on the block against Bailey or Caitlin, I don't know if Scotty is gonna get rid of Steve in order to save this person in a group that he's not that involved with. So that could be an interesting thing to happen here.
One more thing. Sorry, yeah. I wanted to be clear. The other thing is that Bailey seems completely aware of the fact that being in a showman's with Swaggy C could be her downfall. And yet she still is doing it.
Yes, we haven't really even touched on it.
I'm sorry.
They are in fact a showman's here. They up in the HOH room, Swaggy. He pushes Bailey onto the bed and right. That's the move right there. Right over, starts making out. They are in it and they're talking about how they're keeping it secret. Meanwhile, like 10 minutes earlier, Winston was talking about how they're in a showman's.
They're not a secret.
Yeah, not doing particularly well keeping it a secret, but they are definitely making out here. They are definitely in this together. I still don't understand why he wouldn't have just kept Bailey safe with his win, because this relationship, especially if it blows up this week, could really be the downfall of Bailey in this game.
Yeah. Booyah. What do you think about this? I'm here for the showmance, but on the other hand, I love both of these people, and I'm really, really thinking that it's going to be a downfall for both of their games at this point, especially Bailey.
Yeah, I agree, especially considering that Bailey's looking like the prime replacement nominee here, and putting her up next to, as you guys mentioned, someone like Steve. That's a situation where the team yoga has to kind of decide which one they want to move forward with. And you got to imagine Swaggy C's still going to like do everything he can to keep her, even if he thinks she's a detriment to his game, even if he has the realization that, you know, moving forward, it's better for him to be solo. He's not going to want to let go. So this is just bad for them. The fact that they think it's a secret is also bad for them, because, you know, when you think it's a secret, you're going to keep doing what you're doing. And the more people kind of realize what's going on, then that's worse for you, because you've kept it a secret this whole time. Now, people want to blow up your secret because that's a fun part of the game, right? So all in all said, the way they're conducting it right now, not good for them. However, I am here. I'm here for the sneaky kisses. That's always a delightful part of the showman's for me.
Yes. So that's really, I think, most of what we got here. Let me know if you guys have anything else, but I really enjoy this dynamic. I'm really enjoying the cast. What I really love is that we have Winston on one side. He's a hothead. He's nervous. He's paranoid. He's aggressive. And we've got Swaggy on the other side, who is aggressive and arrogant, and like they are very much the kind of like polar opposites, but very also similar at the same time. And they are two opposing forces that are going to be very aggressive in coming after each other. And I think that's great. I love that we have it on both sides, because when it's one side that's aggressive and the other side that's reactive, I feel like it's not as fun. So we have those characters on both sides. We also have the sort of more low key, sneaky, smarter players on both sides, and then we have the savvy players in the middle, and I really enjoy this dynamic. I'm really enjoying the cast so far. Puya,
I will say
for me.
Oh, sorry. I just want to add really quickly that Swaggy talks too much, too, because he's basically revealing all the game knowledge he has. He was talking about Big Brother 8, Big Brother 11, Big Brother 13, things that he remembers, things that he saw. So he's showing all of them that he's a fan of the game, which I think could come back to bite him later on in the butt. So I wasn't necessarily here for that. And he does like flap his gums a lot, but it's fun for me to watch on the feeds, and I'm definitely here for it. By the way, both him and Bailey are people that I drafted, and I love both of these people together, but as a unit, I just feel like it's going to be a bad thing for them. Tell me I'm wrong, Puya.
I can't, Brett. I'm sorry. I really can't tell you that. Well, just speaking of drafts, so you think you can podcast people, we did our own draft, and I ended up with Winston, Brett, and Swaggy C. So I'm going to be doing great this season.
You might be in it for 4 weeks.
That's good. I'm counting for a fun 4 weeks before I fizzle out, for sure. The one thing I want to say for, you know, the blooper reel, for those of you who want to keep count, Brett and Winston were talking about there, because they're both have-nots, so that's the thing. They were both talking about how, oh, you can't be have-not 2 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah.
Have not 2 weeks in a row. So that's a blooper for you guys to keep count of. Those guys are in over their heads on that one.
Yeah, they were pissed that they couldn't participate in the alcohol. They were like, what are you going to do without the party bros?
We'll make do. Yeah, I was laughing at that. They don't think you can be a have not 2 weeks in a row. By the way, Stacked has a question. Are you guys surprised to not have had an eviction last night. Taryn, what do you think about that?
I'm very pleased that we
didn't. I am as well. Yeah. I'm surprised as hell about it, though, because it's been going on for so long. Like, I just kind of expected it. And we actually get a real game. And well, maybe a real game with an asterisk, because Sam is stuck as a robot and she's on the block. On the other hand, these people have been together for 2 weeks. And I said last night that 2 weeks is a long freaking time and that they're going to get stir crazy. Like you said earlier, the veto hasn't even been played yet. So they're all going on about the fact that man, this is a long time. And I'm like, yeah, but it's going to pick up. The pace is going to pick up really soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the way the dynamics are set right now, I feel like there are enough variables here that someone like Sam, if she is somehow off the block and she's like, she stays off the block, she can jump back in because then people want more numbers so she can reintegrate herself. The fact of the matter is the fact that we're not getting a first night or second night eviction right off the bat. Glenn, Cameron, both out early. This is kind of the getting the invoice, getting that receipt back and like kind of having, okay, the next person will leave in 2 weeks. So you guys can be happy. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. At least there's that. At least the feed's going to go on and Paul wasn't there, which I know is probably one of the funniest things that Paul has provided us, is all of us online joking about how he's going to be there any second now. So seeing a whole new cast.
Oh, yeah, it was really such a great joke, Puya.
Yes, I'm here for. I mean, the fact is, as long as it's a joke and not reality, Brent, we're winning.
Right? All right, all right.
So, yeah. So by the way, all in all, like, oh, the way it's all going, dynamics, everything, I'm in for it. It's going to be a good one.
Somebody asked earlier if we have have-nots. As Taryn mentioned, we Winston and Brett are have-nots, but also Caitlin is a have-not and Scotty is a have-not. And like the have-not room is like the old fidget spinner room or whatever. It's like it was converted. So I don't know exactly. It looks okay. They try to make it comfortable. And like I said, I think it's funny that they don't think you can be a have-not twice in a row because they are in for a rude awakening, Taryn.
Yes. Bob wanted to know, if the eviction were tomorrow, where would the votes fall? I think it would be a like 12-1 vote with maybe JC throwing Sam at the sympathy vote. I think Sam would be going home. I think that we're probably going to be getting the veto competition today. If not today, it would be tomorrow, but I'm guessing it's going to be today. So hopefully by tomorrow morning, we will be back and I will be able to let you know what's happening with the veto, which will definitely inform what will be happening with the rest of the week. So that will be interesting. Make sure you stay tuned for that. I think that's all we got for you. I will say, we've got a lot of people that come on these morning updates, but I feel like a lot of them, I'm kind of short on weekday people. We got a lot of people that can do weekends, but these morning updaters, they're moving on with their lives. They're getting jobs. They can't always be here during the weekday at 10 a.m. So I will say this, and hopefully I won't regret this, but if you are your feed watcher, you watch the feeds, you feel like you are knowledgeable, if you have a good internet connection, it has to be very good, and you are available during the week at 10 a.m. Eastern to come up here and talk some feed nonsense with me, send me a message on Twitter, pitch yourself to me, and maybe we can get some people to join me in my quest to document every second of the live feeds. This is our first night of the chat's already gonna regret this.
I'm not gonna get up every day at 10 a.m. for you people, I'll tell you that. And by the way, if you're cute, you can slide into my DMs, by the way.
I hope you enjoyed our first night of the live feeds and our first live feed update. Thank you to Puya and Brent.
Yep. Happy to be here.
Yes. Same. Always. I think that's we're going to have Sunday night's episode coverage. Then Monday, Rob's going to have his podcast with Eric Stein. Tuesday, we're going to have the LFC roundtable, the first one of the season, updating the stock watch rules. We're going to have some fun.
Yes. Yeah, yes. We need to talk about that.
Okay. I've got some ideas. I think I plan on workshopping those ideas on Twitch. I'm going to talk to my chat.
I just want to say really quickly that the one thing we're really like not telling you guys is that JC's freaking crazy, man. He's a casting dream. He is absolute gold. I mean, I know I was making fun of him about the whole, you know, only on CBS thing earlier, but aside from that, he honestly reminds me of Jason from BBOTT in that he's short and gay and usually gets away with stuff that ordinary people cannot get away with in real life. And he says things that actually make me blush. So I'm actually curious as to how far that can go on, because those words coming out of the mouth of anybody else in the house would probably make a CBS executive cringe and have advertisers fleeing for the hills. So we'll see how bad it gets with JC. But I am nervous. I am slightly nervous, Darren.
Yeah, there were definitely some un-PC things going on last night, and it was only the first night, so we'll see where we go from here. But thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. I will see you tomorrow.